Hi, this is Shaylin Hudson. I make candles for Scene Creations, and the price is anywhere from $3 to $8. If you'd like to contact me about purchasing any, you could call me at 907-401-1095.
You have a Facebook page? No? Hello, welcome back to Horror After Hours, coming to you from the Naughty Guy Studio. I'm your host, the Naughty Guy, Adam J. Joining me today is...
Hello, I am from Swatting Flies, Telling Lies podcast. My name is Boosh.
Butta Boosh.
I like girls.
So we're just kind of catching up today and maybe talk about a couple of movies, but...
I ordered a badass Jason lamp and never got a, I thought I got a confirmation email, but that's what I'm doing right now, people. I'm coming through my emails to see what the fuck.
So I've ordered a horror lamp myself. That is the Michael Myers holding a pumpkin, which
is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I'm still waiting on that.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be in by Monday, I'm hoping, at the latest.
It'd be awesome, right?
Yeah. It'll be one more thing to add to the garage because my wife won't let it in the house.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, let's see here. I know that's my registration. I had to register that car out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been doing that. Got that registered yesterday because it runs out at the end of the month.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, son of a bitch. But
what can you do, right?
Yeah. So I was hoping to have that lamp by this week because I think I ordered it a week and a half ago, I think.
No, give it time. Maybe it'll show up.
Yeah. I'm so fucking I'm not anxious. I'm so like, need it right now.
That's how I feel about mine, too.
Yeah. I paid for this. I did, motherfucker. Just if they sent me a confirmation email and I missed it, okay. But if not, then I need to at least email them and, hey, dude.
Yeah, I paid for this. What's up?
Yeah, at least send me a link to my fucking tracking number.
Yeah.
Because it comes encased like some type of water, it looks like.
Yep, it looked like it. You probably have to add the water yourself, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so, which I'm okay. I'm okay doing.
What this lamp is really cool. It's Jason from Friday the 13th, part 6.
Yep,
Jason Lives. And it's the scene in which he gets chained underwater.
Ooh.
So he's kind of floating in there.
Before he gets resurrected.
Quote, yeah. Quote. For part 7.
Yeah. Well, no, it starts off, he's floating.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh no, is that how it ends?
That's how it ends.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Because at the beginning... he gets stabbed by Tommy. At the end, he gets drowned by Johnny. Tommy.
Tommy Jarvis.
Tommy Jarvis.
Now, of the Friday the 13th series, I have two favorites.
Yep.
And that's part 4, the final chapter.
Corey Feldman.
And I like part 6, Jason Lives.
Two fun ones. You know, I like those two. I'm still a fan, even though it's not the best one, is Jason Takes Manhattan. I've watched the original one so many times that I now limit how many times I watch it.
Same here.
Because it's just like, okay, this is one of the things that exploded slasher flicks, but I've easily watched that movie well over 200 times in my life. So
same here.
So now it's like, okay, I got to just watch it. Like I got to pick, like, because we get, what, 2 Friday the 13th? Mm-hmm. A year, almost 2 or 3 a year.
Yeah.
So I pick. Okay, it's like, okay, I know I'm gonna watch Friday the 13th, but which one? Not part 1. Not this time. Because I watched it so fucking much, you know.
Yeah, same here. But you know, every Friday the 13th, I try to do like a marathon.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man.
You know, start from number one and work my way up. But, you know, it doesn't always work out because that's a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But and it's fun to do.
Yeah, so it's just at that point, you just have to, sorry, I'm still looking.
Now, another one I actually really enjoyed was Part 2.
So that one is when Jason is actually the killer.
Yep. And this is where they actually introduce Jason as the killer. Now, this is the one where he's got the, I guess, lack of a better term, gunny sack on his head.
I always thought it was a potato sack.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Just the hole cut out of the one.
Yep. It was his other eye basically couldn't see out of.
Overalls. And so let's break this down. So Jason died as a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why his mom went crazy. That's why she was the killer in Friday the 13th.
The first movie, yep.
That's why fucking Drew Barrymore had to die in Scream. Casey Becker. So, let's throw away fucking logic. Let's just, let's dive into how the fuck did Jason go from a child to this fucking hulking man fucking killing machine.
Yeah.
Let's not just use, okay, we got to suspend disbelief. Let's look at this logically. What's your theory on this?
Now, I like the way Amy Steele put it in the movie. You know, maybe he saw his mother beheaded and it drove him crazy. And, you know, surviving in the woods, you know, living on animals or whatever.
So he's never spotted. So he's got a stealth-like ninja cloth. Because nobody sees or hears this big fuck walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's where I'll come in with some logic. I'm a bigger guy. And when I was at Arrow, I'd walk up while people are talking. And this one guy turns like, it's like, you're too big of a guy to be that sneaky. So there's one thing. Okay, now I'm not walking on fucking tree branches and crunchy leaves and all this other stuff. So how else is he going to survive with these... I guess you're a product of your environment, so you have to learn how to adapt and kill and eat and cook these things. But let's go back. Let's go back to him drowning. Okay, let's look at Mrs. Voorhees. She went crazy, and then by the logic of the movie, well, not one of them, maybe just the theory on one in one of the movies, he saw his mom. Okay, so was she so fucking pissed off that her son drowned? That he was alive, but she just fucking had to go on a killing spree.
That's what it sounded like. I mean, the way they put
I just want to hear your thoughts, man. Let's talk about this, man. Let's just the craziest shit out there. Cause let's use logic. Let's not throw away it. Let's not suspend disbelief. Let's think about how the fuck, like, was he actually dead then? Cause I got the assumption, especially with how many times you watch, like, this fucking kid's dead. This mom's a broken person.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of understand that part.
Yeah, and I get that. So, and I get it. The movie made so much money, you're going to have a sequel. But we all saw her head cut off. We all saw that shit happen.
We saw the hairy knuckles with the big ring.
Yeah.
Which was Tom Savini's hands, by the way. Yeah.
So, how is he resurrected? Let's take a look at that. So, let's say he was dead. What brought him back from the dead? Because in The Crow, it was love and a fucking magical crow.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Myers didn't get killed. He got sent away. Then he escapes. Jason. Okay. How does he come back? Because Freddy was murdered. And then since he was taken out by a lynch mob, fucking we assume the devil sent him back and let him fucking haunt dreams. So how does Jason come back then? Let's stick with the logic of the first one, that he did die and his mom, which is very understandable, became such a broken human because it's like, I'm going to fucking, because in that 1980, it was 20 years before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 1960 or whatever year it is. And then they reopen
58
it.
58 or something.
1958. Like okay. Cause it's 1978, right? Mm-hmm. Suppose it. She goes there and she kills the counselors. When she goes there to talk to them, she catches them about to bang or banging. And it's like, this is why my kids did, because you're fucking doing this shit and you're not going to prove me otherwise, because what are you doing here right now? You're sneaking around. Well, you're supposed to be watching the kids, your counselor. So I'm going to kill you. So they close it. They open it back up. And then it fucking just, because she goes quiet. She doesn't kill anybody after that because she's vindicated herself, right? So since she's, or she avenged her son is what I should say. She didn't vindicate. She avenged her son. And then they reopen it, which is not even a slap in her face, but it's a slap in the face of her dead son.
Now, actually, they talked about several people trying to reopen that between that.
In those time frames?
In those time frames. That I think three other people tried to reopen the place. First time, the water was bad. The next time, somebody died, some kind of an accident, I think. And the story went on. But
So we're in that. And so they go lock, stock, and barrel, open this up. And now she gets pissed. What we don't know the very first time you watch this. And if you're listening to Adam's podcast, you've watched this movie.
Oh, yeah.
So she's driving there and she sees this fucking beautiful, knockout, stunning girl that I immediately thought, like, she's going to be the main character.
And so did everybody else.
No, she's dead as fuck. She blows past where she is supposed to go, and she's just like, fuck you. You're going here to be a counselor, and you're fucking dead as fuck. Kills her. So all this stuff now, how does Jason come back? Give me your craziest fucking theory on this, man.
Oh, man.
Because like I said, Michael Myers got shipped away. Michael Myers got sent to the loony bin because he killed his sister. And rightfully so. He was. Dr. Loomis was right about him. Freddy was lynched out. And in that world, we're looking at it in each individual world as their own. Okay. Freddy was, quote unquote, such an evil human being for killing fucking kids that he went to hell. And then in hell, the devil let him come back. I'm assuming, just off the top of my head. And then so that leaves us Jason. So how does Jason come back? What I want to hear your theory on that.
You really got me on the spot here.
I'm just going off the seat of my pants here. I'm just curious to what you think. Like, I'm not saying you need to be a deep thinker to watch these movies, but when you watch a movie so many times, I start thinking, how the fuck did he come back for part two? Now I'm glad they did it, because we got to watch all these movies. We got to rent them each year that they came out. It was awesome.
Oh yeah.
And I love these movies. I'm just curious. Like I said, I'm not going to suspend disbelief like I always do with the movies. Now it's just like, okay, then how would Jason come back? Because when we see him at the end, when this victim has a fucking mental breakdown and just collapses and passes out in fear, she has a dream of Jason. And all she had at that moment was the story of Jason. So she has a kind of a picture in that he was a special needs kid who was young and he literally should have been watched, and they fucked up. So let's say he's 12 years old, 10, 12 years old. So he goes from there to 19, 20 years old.
So maybe he didn't drown, or maybe he drowned and was revived somehow.
And she was just like, so like fucking,
you let blood. This happen.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why she went on the killing spree.
Cause let's go with that. Then she was so pissed off, which any parent could understand,
for absolute negligence.
Yeah. So in her mind, instead of he could have died, he died.
But maybe he was still alive, survived, you know, watched her die.
Yeah.
And then survived on small animals or whatever.
Because after she got killed, let's say that he did survive, but she went there like, my special needs son almost died because you were trying to, fucking you guys were trying to get laid. I'm going to kill you guys. Understandable. And then, like you said, they tried to open it up. The water's bad. Okay, she doesn't got to go there and fuck with them because they didn't open it up. Someone died by accident. Okay, let's say that that person that died by accident was done in by Mrs. Voorhees.
And that's then, what somebody was thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
And then let's also say that um, she treats Jason even a little bit more special, because for Jason to see her get beheaded, he's going to have to be in that Jeep at the beginning of the movie, right?
No.
Where is he going to be then? I'm just curious.
You talking about the part where she dies, the mother dies?
Yeah. So in...
They were at the camp when that happened.
Well, no, it's just because she's obviously driving to the camp to kill these fuckers that are opening up the very camp to where her special needs son was almost killed.
But do you remember when the sheriff was chasing Jason down, that cabin in which he was hiding
in
was
part two.
Way out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was away from the camp. It was further out.
Oh, no. I'm talking about leading up to all of that. Hmm. I'm talking about leading up to part two. This is like from when he drowned, quote unquote. Let's say he did drown. That's a fact. In this universe, he fucking drowned.
Okay.
But he could have been revived.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people have.
Yeah. So we're going on that he did live. Now,
that's not unbelievable.
Yeah. So my question to you with your theory is that, is Jason in the Jeep? Is he hiding in the Jeep because he wanted to follow his mom? Is his mom ashamed of how he looks? So she's making him hide in the back of the Jeep because this beautiful young woman didn't ever have a reaction, you know? So I'm just curious, maybe she kills him, goes back to get Jason. And then after that, Jason's like, just wait here in the Jeep.
Maybe.
Could be, because at the end with the reveal, we're waiting for a fucking man. We're waiting for like the town drunk looking type of guy.
Right? What was his name? I can't remember his name.
Oh, so we're waiting for someone that looks like that. And the genius writing of this is just a heartbroken mom.
Yep.
Now, the genius behind that is it has never been done before. Never. It's always, almost always had been a man.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I was just curious. So Jason wasn't in that Jeep at the beginning, but he had to have been riding with her later on.
Because she was stalking the entire campground. Everybody had to have been on the grounds with her.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yeah, because she's moving around like a fucking ninja. So that's how he's learning to move around quietly, right? Mm-hmm. And then he had to have been at the Jeep at the end of the movie. And mother said not to go out. Mother says, stay here. I need to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Something like that. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay.
I can definitely buy that.
Okay. So I was just curious to what your theories were. We didn't really have anything to talk about, and I just pulled that out of my ass. Because
that's a really interesting way to look at it.
And that all came from because you asked me about my lamp, and I had forgotten about it.
So, broaching another subject here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Rob Zombie's Halloween?
I like the first one. Now, it is a 180 on Michael Myers in that we didn't know the shape's background. We didn't need to know the shape. The fucking, as far as we knew, this motherfucker was
straight up the boogeyman.
And sometimes that's scarier. Now, I never needed to go into it after that. Just a movie that I enjoy.
Yeah.
But what Rob Zombie too, and what Zombie realized was he made a song for the Psycho remake, which was a shot by shot remake, the one you just watched. And then people panned that movie, you know? And then in 2003, there was a remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which wasn't bad. But it was very similar to the first one.
Yeah.
Right? So Rob Zombie saw this and was like, okay, I'm going to have to fucking George Costanza this and fucking do the opposite. Now, what's the opposite of the first one? I'm going to go deep in to the fucked up mind, and I'm going to show you why Michael Myers became Michael Myers. But you're going to see an abusive stepdad. You're going to see his mom, who's a stripper, who has to work nights, so she's not around as often.
Yep.
You're going to see his sister, who's promiscuous, and that for some reason fucks him up just like it did in the original Halloween.
Not only that, everybody, these characters are so reprehensible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to feel bad for anybody.
Because everybody's a piece of shit in this movie. Yeah.
So it was the first one, the Rob Zombie remake.
Mm-hmm.
I was down with. It's just,
I love the movie myself.
And in another way, it's the opposite of the Halloween that you love, that I love, that Rob Zombie love. It's so graphic in the killings.
Yes.
We never saw much of, if any, blood in the original Halloween.
Very little.
We saw a fucking knife getting stabbed and you hear it.
But as you said in one of our earlier podcasts, it's not what you see on the screen. It's what your mind sees.
Yeah.
And what they don't show you can be a lot more scary than what they do show you.
Yeah. And this one was the opposite. Like I said, this one was the opposite. Did the 180. We see Michael Myers in a fucked up childhood. We see him getting bullied. We see his abusive stepdad. We see that his mom can't be around as much as she wants because she works a night job stripping, whatever. I don't care. But I mean, he just shows us all these different branches on what came together to make this fucked up killing machine.
That turned him into the boogeyman.
Yeah. Now, I like that one. And what they also did that was really cool was Rob Zombie knows his horror shit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He brought back Danielle Harris.
Yep.
Which was awesome.
And she played Nancy.
Yep. What was cool about that is she was in two Halloween movies when she was a little girl. She's our age.
Yep. She was in Halloween 4 and Halloween 5.
Yeah. So, because she was the niece, quote unquote, right?
Yep. The Return of Michael Myers and the Revenge of Michael Myers. Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, cool, man. So I like all that. That's my thought on the first one. Do you want to hear it on the second one?
Well, one thing I liked the first one was that they brought back Ken Foray, who was an absolute legend.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his acting, always.
Tell people who he is.
He was in the original Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a legendary actor. And he was, in this movie, he was the truck driver in which Michael Myers took his coveralls,
mm-hmm.
his jumpsuit.
Yep.
And I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but it was Joe something.
Taking a shit.
Yeah. I'm Joe something. I can't remember how the whole speech went, but it was funny. And it was, obviously it sticks with you.
Yeah.
And he told everybody, I'm Joe this bitch. Yeah. And I loved his acting. Another actor that I'm so happy they brought in was Danny Trejo.
Really quick on that guy who got his coveralls stolen.
Ken Foray, yep.
He no wiped. He just stood up. So this goes back. I saw this question on online yesterday. If somebody breaks into your house while you're taking a shit, do you wipe your ass and get up and fight? Or do you get up and fight? This guy got up and fought. He did a no wipe and fucking
went for it.
Went for it.
No. No, I think one of the hardest parts for me to watch of this movie was in the asylum when it's about the time when Michael breaks out. They were the guards or whatever you call these guys.
Everybody's the worst of humanity in this movie.
Exactly. That's why I said everybody was so reprehensible. These guys were raping
a person in the asylum.
Yeah.
In Michael's room because he's quiet.
Yeah.
They were just so fucking horrible.
And you can understand why he flipped the fuck out.
Yeah.
But this also brings in Danny Trejo.
Uh-huh.
And what I liked about Danny in this movie was that he was good to Michael. Mm-hmm. Always talked to him, hey, keep your chin up. Don't let this place get you down, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Always a cool character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just brought it to a shocking end when Michael kills him.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mikey,
I was good to you, Mikey.
Yeah.
And then he gets the TV in the head.
That's just showing that he's a fucking black hole, that he is the monster that we had heard about from Dr. Loomis in the original one. So let's stay with Dr. Loomis. They brought in a good actor to play
Dr.
Loomis, right?
Yep.
He was in Clockwork Orange.
Yes, he was. What is it? Malcolm McDowell.
So he's in this, and I thought he was a good Dr. Loomis.
He was an absolute shit in this movie.
We're going to get to that, because if you want to talk about him being a shit, then we could get into part two now if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's where he's an absolute shit stain on fucking humanity's underwear. He's a fucking skid mark.
Yep.
he was a good person in part one. Part two, they did a fucking 180 on what they had done. And this fucking rat fucking bastard wrote a book to become popular and became this fucking... This guy became such a fucking douchebag to the highest of orders that he just fucking was complete turnoff. Now, that whole movie, in my opinion, I've watched it like once, maybe twice. Because not only did they make him fucking literally scum of the earth, like they, you know, it's like, dude, you are fucking not the person that you were in the first one. You're not. We got to stop Michael. We got to stop Michael. I told you he's unredeemable. I told you he's unfixable. Told you he needs to be locked up. He was the opposite. I got to sell my book.
Yep.
I need to make money. Somebody's going to write a book that kind of took that from Scream, but whatever. Anyways, now you cut to Michael Myers. Okay. Now, at the end of Halloween, this is where you got to suspend disbelief again.
Yep.
Laurie shoots him.
In the head, of all places.
And it's just like, holy shit, it's not going to go off. How the movie ends is so crazy. The gun goes off and the blood hits her and she just loses it and screams. And that's how that movie ends. And that stuck with me in such a wrong way that I wanted to fucking take that ending, the feeling it gave me. I wanted to marry somebody and cheat on them with this feeling because it fucking, and then I wanted to have kids and raise it with this feeling. That's how fucking hard that ending hit me with the discomfort that it left me.
It definitely is a very powerful ending.
Okay. So she shoots him, but he didn't die. Okay. The movie made $30 million in one fucking 2 days. They were going to make a sequel. I get it.
Strike while the iron's hot.
But they the theater had to have known, oh, it's just a horror movie. Okay, then how are we going to suspend the disbelief of Laurie Strode shooting him directly in the head while she's sitting on him? This fucking ending that sticks with me to this day. Okay, cool then. We'll suspend disbelief. He's just resurrected now just because that's what happens. He got shot by Dr. Loomis in the first one and did the weird fucking... took my dance move shit.
Yep.
Okay. Now I could believe that he had fucking a bulletproof vest on. How does he get it? I don't fucking know, man. We're not getting into that right now. Back to this one. He starts seeing visions of his mother and she's telling him what to do. That's way too Jason Voorhees for my liking, man.
Yeah. And it really left me scratching my head on this one because everybody who was so fucked up in the first movie was 10 times as bad in this one.
Yeah, because they were so just emotionally broken, mentally unstable because of fucking what, rightfully so, the fucked upness. And it was just, the blood's not exactly, it's almost a dark blood. It's that hillbilly horror that fucking Rob Zombie gives us, you know? So,
and
but anyways, yeah.
I've seen part two a couple of times and I'm not crazy about that one, but the first one was amazing.
Yeah.
Love the first one.
Yeah.
Now, the original movie, nothing's going to ever top that one. At least for me, anyway.
Yeah, no, I get it. And those are my thoughts. That's my train of thought. And it just kind of popped up, bro.
Yeah. No, I dig it, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
So, listen to Swatting Flies and Telling Lies, and Bruce and I will have another few discussions.
Catch you down the road.
Talk to you next time, folks. Peace.